Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 25. Both covenants were prefigured in Abraham and in the labor of Tamar. There was, however, but one and the same God to each covenant. For thus it had behooved the sons of Abraham to be, whom God has raised up to him from the stones, and caused to take a place beside him, who was made the chief and the forerunner of our faith, who did also receive the covenant of circumcision, after that justification by faith which had pertained to him, when he was yet in uncircumcision, so that in him both covenants might be prefigured, that he might be the father of all who follow the word of God, and who sustain a life of pilgrimage in this world, that is, of those who from among the circumcision and of those from among the uncircumcision are faithful, even as also Christ is the chief cornerstone, sustaining all things. And God gathered into the one faith of Abraham those who from either covenant are eligible for God's building. But this faith which is in uncircumcision, as connecting the end with the beginning, has been made both the first and the last. For as I have shown, it existed in Abraham antecedently to circumcision, as it also did in the rest of the righteous who pleased God. And in these last times it again sprang up among mankind through the coming of the Lord. But circumcision and the law of works occupied the intervening period. This fact is indeed set forth by many other occurrences, but typically, by the history of Tamar, Judah's daughter-in-law. For when she had conceived twins, one of them put forth his hand first, and as the midwife supposed that he was the firstborn, she bound a scarlet token on his hand. But after this had been done, and he had drawn back his hand, his brother Perez came forth the first. Then after him Zerah, upon whom was the scarlet line, born the second. The scripture clearly pointing out that people which possessed the scarlet sign, that is, faith in a state of circumcision, which was shown beforehand, indeed in the patriarchs first, but after that withdrawn, that his brother might be born. And also, in like manner, him who was the elder as being born in the second place, him who was distinguished by the scarlet token which was fastened on him, that is, the passion of the Just One, which was prefigured from the beginning in Abel, and described by the prophets, but perfected in the last times in the Son of God. For it was requisite that certain facts should be announced beforehand by the fathers in a paternal manner, and others prefigured by the prophets in a legal one, but others described after the form of Christ by those who have received the adoption, while in one God are all things shown forth. For although Abraham was one, he did in himself prefigure the two covenants, in which some indeed have sown, while others have reaped. For it is said, "In this is the saying true, that it is one people who sows, but another who shall reap." But it is one God who bestows things suitable upon both, seed to the sower, but bread for the reaper to eat. Just as it is one that plants and another who waters, but one God who gives the increase. For the patriarchs and prophets sowed the word concerning Christ, but the church reaped, that is, received the fruit. For this reason, too, do these very men, the prophets, also pray to have a dwelling place in it, as Jeremiah says, "Who will give me in the desert the last dwelling place?" In order that both the sower and the reaper may rejoice together in the kingdom of Christ, who is present with all those who were from the beginning approved by God, who granted them his word to be present with them. Chapter 26. The treasure hid in the Scriptures is Christ. The true exposition of the Scriptures is to be found in the Church alone. If anyone, therefore, reads the Scriptures with attention, he will find in them an account of Christ, and a foreshadowing of the new calling, vocationis. For Christ is the treasure which was hid in the field, that is, in this world, for the field is the world. But the treasure hid in the Scriptures is Christ, since he was pointed out by means of types and parables. Hence his human nature could not be understood prior to the consummation of those things which had been predicted, that is, the coming of Christ. And therefore it was said to Daniel the prophet, "Shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of consummation, until many learn, and knowledge be completed. For at that time, when the dispersion shall be accomplished, they shall know all these things." But Jeremiah also says, "In the last days they shall understand these things." For every prophecy, before its fulfillment, is to men enigmas and ambiguities. But when the time has arrived, and the prediction has come to pass, then the prophecies have a clear and certain exposition. And for this reason, indeed, when at this present time the law is read to the Jews, it is like a fable, for they do not possess the explanation of all things pertaining to the coming of the Son of God, which took place in human nature. But when it is read by the Christians, it is a treasure, hid indeed in a field, but brought to light by the cross of Christ, and explained, both enriching the understanding of men, and showing forth the wisdom of God, and declaring his dispensations with regard to man, and forming the kingdom of Christ beforehand, and preaching by anticipation the inheritance of the holy Jerusalem, and proclaiming beforehand that the man who loves God shall arrive at such excellency as even to see God and hear his word, and from the hearing of his discourse be glorified to such an extent that others cannot behold the glory of his countenance, as was said by Daniel, "Those who do understand shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and many of the righteous as the stars for ever and ever." Thus then I have shown it to be, if anyone read the Scriptures. For thus it was that the Lord discoursed with the disciples after his resurrection from the dead, proving to them from the Scriptures themselves that Christ must suffer and enter into his glory, and that remission of sins should be preached in his name throughout all the world. And the disciple will be perfected and rendered like the householder, who brings forth from his treasure things new and old. Wherefore it is incumbent to obey the priests who are in the church, those who, as I have shown, possess the succession from the apostles, those who, together with the succession of the episcopate, have received the certain gift of truth, according to the good pleasure of the Father. But it is also incumbent to hold in suspicion others who depart from the primitive succession, and assemble themselves together in any place whatsoever, either as heretics of perverse minds, or as schismatics, puffed up and self-pleasing, or again as hypocrites, acting thus for the sake of lucre and vainglory. For all these have fallen from the truth. And the heretics indeed, who bring strange fire to the altar of God, namely, strange teachings, shall be burned up by the fire from heaven, as were Nadab and Abiud. But such as rise up in opposition to the truth, and exhort others against the church of God, shall remain among those in hell, being swallowed up by an earthquake, even as those who were with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. But those who cleave asunder, and separate the unity of the church, shall receive from God the same punishment as Jeroboam did. Those, however, who are believed to be priests by many, but serve their own lusts, and do not place the fear of God supreme in their hearts, but conduct themselves with contempt towards others, and are puffed up with the pride of holding the chief seat, and work evil deeds in secret, saying, "No man sees us," shall be convicted by the Word, who does not judge after outward appearance, nor looks upon the countenance, but the heart. And they shall hear those words to be found in Daniel the prophet, "O you seed of Canaan and not of Judah, beauty has deceived you, and lust perverted your heart. You that are waxed old in wicked days, now your sins, which you have committed aforetime, are come to light. For you have pronounced false judgments, and have been accustomed to condemn the innocent, and to let the guilty go free. Albeit the Lord says, 'The innocent and the righteous you shall not slay.' Of whom also did the Lord say, 'But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming," and shall begin to smite the manservants and maidens, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day that he does not look for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.' From all such persons, therefore, it behoves us to keep aloof, but to adhere to those who, as I have already observed, do hold the doctrine of the apostles, and who, together with the order of priesthood, display sound speech and blameless conduct for the confirmation and correction of others. In this way, Moses, to whom such leadership was entrusted, relying on a good conscience, cleared himself before God, saying, I have not, in covetousness, taken anything belonging to one of these men, nor have I done evil to one of them." In this way, too, Samuel, who judged the people so many years, and bore rule over Israel without any pride, in the end cleared himself, saying, "I have walked before you from my childhood, even until this day. Answer me in the sight of God and before his anointed. Whose ox or whose ass of yours have I taken? Or over whom have I tyrannized? Or whom have I oppressed? Or, if I have received from the hand of any a bribe or so much as a shoe, speak out against me, and I will restore it to you." And when the people had said to him, "You have not tyrannized, neither have you oppressed us, neither have you taken anything from any man's hand," he called the Lord to witness, saying, "The Lord is witness, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they said to him, "He is witness." In this strain also the Apostle Paul, inasmuch as he had a good conscience, said to the Corinthians, "For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. We have injured no man, corrupted no man, circumvented no man." Such priests does the church nourish, of whom also the prophet says, "I will give your rulers in peace, and your bishops in righteousness." Of whom also did the Lord declare, "Who then shall be a faithful steward, good and wise, whom the Lord sets over his household, to give them their meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." Paul, then, teaching us where one may find such, says, "God has placed in the church, first, apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers." Where the gifts of the Lord have been placed, therefore, there it behooves us to learn the truth. From those who possess that succession of the church which is from the apostles, and among whom exists that which is sound and blameless in conduct, as well as that which is unadulterated and incorrupt in speech. For these also preserve this faith of ours in one God who created all things, and they increase that love for the Son of God, who accomplished such marvelous dispensations for our sake. And they expound the Scriptures to us without danger, neither blaspheming God, nor dishonoring the patriarchs, nor despising the prophets. End of chapter 26.